Welcome to the Artist Mother Podcast, featuring interviews with incredible working artists who are also mothers and compelling conversations regarding parenting and the art world. These conversations create a space for inclusivity and support for artist mothers worldwide. I'm Kaylin Butine, painter, mom of three, and podcast host. I'm so grateful you are tuning in, and I hope you enjoy this episode. Welcome to this episode of the Artist Mother Podcast. I'm Kaylin Butine. Normally, I am in the interview seat, but today I wanted to share a little bit more of something I've been developing for a course I'm teaching right now, co-teaching with Isadora Stowe. Isadora and I have been leading over 40 artist mothers through this professional practice course for artists called Wearing All the Hats Without Losing Your Head. And we have had such an amazing time guiding these artists through different aspects of professional practice related to your art career. So we've been talking about everything from exhibitions, gallery representation, your CV, documenting your work, websites, newsletters, connecting with collectors, selling your work, pricing your work, so many things. It's just been jam-packed full of really great content. This has been our first time doing it, and we originally set out to do 20 weeks of this course, and that's what we're working through. We're almost wrapping up with getting to the last segment of our 20 weeks. We're going to be offering this course again in the fall, but we're going to restructure it a little bit and offer it as a 12-week course. So it'll kind of run parallel to our Crit Group Crew program. If you're familiar with that program, we've been running that twice a year in the spring and in the fall. And so if you're interested in that course and, you know, learning more about it, make sure you're signed up for our newsletter at artistmotherpodcast.com. You can click the contact link and that'll lead you to our newsletter, or we'll be posting about it on Instagram. But signups will start happening for that course at the end of May or early June. And then the course will begin in August. But I took 2 weeks, as part of that course, leading all of us through this content based around Instagram. So artists and Instagram is kind of this complex thing, but I mean, so many of us use Instagram every day. We build, you know, parts of our business on Instagram. We connect with collectors. I mean, honestly, most of you know, this whole community has been built on Instagram. So I have so much gratitude for Instagram, for the wonderful people that it's brought into my life, for the community that I have, you know, helped build and have just been blessed by as part of this app. but of course, many of us have this like complex relationship with Instagram. It's something that we can, you know, just get sucked into and be burnout on. It can make us feel a lot of self-doubt and push us into a scarcity mindset if we're not careful. So it was really great to take 2 weeks to kind of walk through this content about using Instagram more specifically and intentionally, kind of thinking through reframing our mindsets with it and, you know, building a content collection, figuring out some best practices and avoiding burnout for Instagram. And I just thought, like, after I finished those couple weeks with our class, I just thought, like, this would make such a great podcast episode, right? All of us want to hear about how to use Instagram better. We want to hear how to find more balance with it, how to not be burnout. So I wanted to share a little bit today with you some of that content that I've built, and I'm going to walk you through a few different phases of my relationship with Instagram and some of the things that have really helped me over the years. To be fair, I'm just speaking from the heart here. I'm just speaking from my own experience. I'm not by any means an expert, but I am an artist who's been on Instagram for 9 years. I've been connecting with people, growing community, growing a following. I've sold tons of my art through Instagram. I have connected with galleries and, you know, lots of opportunities have really come to me through Instagram. So it certainly has been one of the main ways that I have built up my art career, even though it has not been the only way. And I don't think it is the only way. And I don't think every artist should have Instagram as their main way to build their career. I think all of this kind of depends on your values, what you want to prioritize. Maybe you have gallery representation, and so for you, Instagram, you know, doesn't function in the same way. A lot of this conversation really, you know, kind of depends on what you value and where you are with your career, but I still think for many of us, we struggle with some of the same things. And so I just want to walk you through a few things that I've been thinking about and processing as I've just been on this journey of being an artist on Instagram. And I will say now that I've been on it for 9 years and have worked through some of these things, I feel like my relationship with Instagram is the best it's ever been. I feel very, I don't know, like I don't feel frustrated with it. I know so many artist friends who just get so sick of it and overwhelmed or frustrated, and I feel really good where I'm at with it right now, and I thought it would be a good time to share some of the things that I think about when I approach Instagram and how I use it for my art career. So I hope this is helpful, and you can always reach out to me with specific questions. And like I mentioned, we will be going much more in depth with all of this in our course, Wearing All the Hats, which will be launching again in August. Signups will happen end of May and in June. And then I also wanted to mention too, really briefly, I'm going to be doing a visual workshop with this Instagram for Artists content that'll be available on the Artist Mother Network. And that will be this week, the week that this podcast episode comes out. The workshop is on Wednesday, April 28th at 3 p.m. Eastern. And like I mentioned, you can access that workshop if you're part of our Artist Mother Network, which we would love to have you. It's kind of like our own Facebook for artist mothers. You can sign up and participate on the network for 2 months for free. Just try it out and see what you think. There's workshops, artist talks, lots of strategy and sharing and support happening every week. We have a ton of content that we build out each month, and so we would love to see you there. Okay, so Instagram for artists, Instagram for artist mothers, some of the things that I've learned over the years. I've been doing Instagram for 9 years. I have a little over 12,000 followers on my personal art Instagram, and the Artist Mother Podcast Instagram has over 16,000 followers. And then Stay Home Gallery, which is a third Instagram that I've built up, I think we're maybe edging up to 7,000 followers. I haven't really looked at that number consciously in a while, but I think we're pretty close to the 7,000 mark. So, and a lot of those people are probably people who follow all three accounts. Maybe some of you listening, you might be involved in the Artist Mother community, Stay Home Gallery, or my personal art. So there's definitely some crossover there with the people that I know and the people that are just supportive of the work that we're doing, which is so wonderful. I love you. If you follow all three of the art accounts that I'm involved in, you are officially in my I Am Your Fan club, because I just thank you so much. But yeah, like I realize in the big scheme of things, our accounts are pretty small. There's lots of people who have, you know, hundreds of thousands of millions of followers on Instagram, but I would rather take, you know, the 12,000 people who follow me over 1 million followers any day. I think just having a really solid base of people who support you and your work and are passionate in what you're doing is really the best thing that you can have. I would rather have 1,000 followers, you know, over 100,000, if those 1,000 followers were really investing in me and really cared about me. So, and were people who were being really intentional with their use of Instagram. So in a world where, you know, we feel bombarded by things to consume, I just wanted to share gratitude for anyone who, you know, is following the projects that I'm involved in and my own art career that I share on Instagram. But this conversation is for you if you're feeling stuck, if you're feeling frustrated, if you're not seeing that growth. I just wanted to share a few things to keep in mind. First, I'm going to walk you through a section about reframing your mindset with Instagram. I'm going to share a few things that I think about that kind of gets some of that off my back, that stuck feeling, those frustrated feelings. I want to talk to you about reframing that and maybe thinking about Instagram in a different way to help you feel better about it. Second, I'm going to talk to you just about a few tips for making it easier on yourself, to use Instagram. Third, I'm going to walk you through some really simple best practices for Instagram. So these are kind of like your quick tips for Instagram use, things that I think will make, you know, your experience of Instagram and the people following you, their experience of your Instagram really good and cohesive. And then finally, I'm going to share a few tips about burnout, how to avoid having burnout on Instagram, and, you know, just some things to think about as you're engaging with this app, this really powerful app that can do so much for you, right? And don't forget that behind this app are real people who are investing time and energy, who are sharing thoughtful comments, who are liking what you're doing, who have committed to following you. Like, it is such a privilege to have, you know, somebody reach out and want to connect and follow you. So just want you to keep that in mind as we're talking through this content. I am not, you know, advocating that you treat Instagram in a way that does not honor sort of the sacredness of the fact that there are real people behind this app that you are connecting with. Okay, so reframing your mindset with Instagram. Here's the first thing I want you to think about as an artist who is using Instagram to develop your art career. The first thing I want you to think about is valuing and prioritizing your art, not your social media. I want you to think about your social media and use it as a strategy for enhancing your art career. But I want you, above all, to value and prioritize your art. So give the best that you have to your studio time, to your art practice, and let Instagram come after. Let your professional practice, everything about your professional practice, it is important. I am going to advocate for you to do it well, but the number one thing that I want you to focus on is your art. And if you feel yourself sliding into this mode of frustration, feeling like you're, you know, working up too much frustrated energy around Instagram, just bring it back into focus and remember that your real goal here is to make art. It's not to be an Instagram star, right? So I want you to, number one, always value and prioritize your art. The second thing I want you to think about when you're reframing your mindset with Instagram is that Instagram is only one leg of your art career, right? If you're choosing to use it. It is not the only way for you to build an art career. First, it takes you valuing and prioritizing your art. But there are lots of other ways that you can grow your art career. As I mentioned before, like lots of artists, you know, don't even really need or use Instagram because maybe they're more focused on gallery representation. Maybe having a crazy good exhibition record is something that you're focusing on. And so you're using your time and energy, you know, to research and apply to all the best shows. And you're not so much using Instagram for that outlet. Maybe you're connecting with interior designers, or you're selling your art reproductions on Saatchi, or, you know, there's lots of different ways that you can build your art career. You can have 10 studio visits every month. You can do all these different things, right? So I think one way to reframe and get out of that stuck mode with Instagram is to remember that it is only one part of the puzzle. And as you're thinking about the different legs that your art career has, Instagram being one of those legs, I want all of your legs that you choose to have, if your art career is a table, right? What are the legs that are supporting your table? And all of those legs should be things that line up with your values. So if you're not as interested in selling your work, but you still want to know how to make money, you're going to have a leg that's pretty, you know, propped up by grants or finding alternative funding, or maybe you keep your day job. If you're, you know, really interested in exhibiting your work, but, you know, having a social media presence is just something that you don't want to focus on, maybe you get an agent, or maybe you just spend a lot of time pounding the pavement, looking at calls for art and, you know, doing your research and doing that side of it. So I just want you to keep in mind when you're thinking about Instagram as one part of the puzzle or one leg of the table that is your art career, that all of your legs should be within your values. Like, what do you really care about? Don't get sucked into this idea that you have to do it all, be it all. You have to sell on Saatchi, and you have to have interior design connections, and you have to exhibit your work, and you have to have an Instagram shop, and you have to, like, no, slow down. Think about what kind of art career you want and pick a few things to focus on that line up with that kind of art career, right? Because we know there is so much diversity. There are so many different ways to make a living as an artist. So honing in on your values and focusing is really important. And if Instagram is one of the things that you enjoy doing, if it lines up with your art career, with your long-term goals, with what you value, then and only then, you know, should you continue to develop your Instagram. Okay, another thing I want you to think about with reframing your mindset with Instagram is to stop taking it so personal. I personally don't think that Instagram is out to get you, but I know so many of us have been there when we've had bad days and we just feel like Instagram is the worst ever, right? And we feel personally offended by the way our Instagram post is not performing, or people aren't engaging, or you're just seeing things in the algorithm that you don't want to see, or whatever it is. I just want you to take a minute to remember that Instagram is not out to get you. And I want you to feel empowered to use Instagram and not be used by Instagram. Put that ball and chain on Instagram and use it for what you want to use it for. You are in control. And the first way that I think you should be empowered by this idea is to separate your personal Instagram, what you share about your life, from an art and business Instagram. To me, Instagram is a business tool for building your art career. So although I'm going to talk, you know, a little bit about my personal life on my Instagram, I'm going to share maybe a little bit about my kids or about my artist mother life or, you know, some of the things we're up to. It is not a personal outlet for sharing my life. I have a private account where, you know, I have just a couple hundred followers, mostly just really close family and friends, and I post much more relaxed, in the moment content about, you know, my kids, our travels, like our family life, the things we're eating. And I love that compartmentalization. Y'all, I even follow people on my personal Instagram. Like, I follow cooking accounts, I follow, you know, sustainable living accounts, I follow gardening accounts. I don't follow any of that kind of stuff on my art Instagram. I like really keep it separate from what I post and also who I follow and how I kind of use the app and engage with it. So I can just open up the app, switch the account, and put this different hat on and kind of engage in a different way. And, you know, one of the reasons that I do that is I feel like that whole idea of not feeling so personally offended when my Instagram doesn't do well, or feeling like Instagram is not out to get me. If I have a business account that's just for building my art career, there's a boundary there, right? I'm not pouring my heart and soul and mind and sharing everything about my life into that part of the app and mixing it up with my art career. It is a business tool that is for building my sharing my portfolio, building my client base, like doing specific things, connecting with other artists. And at the end of the day, like, I don't feel so, I don't know, raw and vulnerable. I like that boundary. That might not be for you, but that's my number one recommendation. Like, maybe I should have started with that one, but I wanted to start with valuing and prioritizing your art and those other things. But I just feel like the best way to reframe your mindset with Instagram is to separate your art business account and get a private or just a different account for sharing your life if you want to do that, sharing your personal life. It's just, it creates like so much less confusing feelings. I know some of you really get me on that. I'm delighted to share that this episode of the Artist Mother Podcast is sponsored by an artist mother and tax expert, Hannah Cole of Sunlight Tax. Is your creative practice gaining steam? Maybe you just got a big grant or a big show. You're excited to get to work, but a nagging feeling tells you that there are some tax issues that could hurt you. What you don't know might actually be holding you back from all that you can accomplish. You just want to get down to the studio and do the work you love, but finances and tax concerns are dragging you down. Thankfully, Sunlight Tax is here for you. Artist and tax pro Hannah Cole started Sunlight Tax to empower creative people with the tax and money tools you need so you can have more money, more time, and make a bigger impact with your work. Who doesn't want that? Sunlight Tax offers an annual membership called Money Bootcamp, which is tailored to your busy creative life to teach you targeted skills for your financial health and taxes. Hannah guides you through the pitfalls into simple systems so you can stay on track, start investing in yourself, and get back to the studio without getting bogged down. Right now, listeners of the Artist Mother Podcast can get a free artist tax deduction guide by going to sunlighttax.com/artistmother. That's sunlighttax.com/artistmother. Thank you, Hannah, for providing so much to artists and helping us through with all of our financial concerns. It's so reassuring to have experts like you we can trust and we know are looking out for us. Head to sunlighttax.com to find out more about everything Hannah has to offer, and don't forget your free artist tax deduction guide just for our community at sunlighttax.com/artistmother. Another thing with reframing your mindset with Instagram is I want you to set some boundaries. I want you to think about Instagram, as I said, as a business tool where you're going to create tasks, you're going to have a to-do list, you're going to set a timer, you're going to compartmentalize. And if that sounds icky to you, I want to go back to this idea of, like, you know, social media can't fulfill all of these things in our lives, right? Like, we can't expect this flat virtual experience to give us everything we want. And so I'm going to use Instagram in a way that is, it doesn't take all of it out of me, right? Like, I am putting extreme thought and extreme intention into what I'm sharing on Instagram, but I'm not pouring my heart and soul in there, right? I'm not, like, forcing all of my complexity as a human being into this, like, limited experience. And so for me, having boundaries, creating a to-do list, thinking of it like a business task is really helpful for removing some of that stress around it. The last thing I want you to think about when under this umbrella of reframing your mindset with Instagram is put yourself in the driver's seat as a creator, not a consumer. So I think a lot of times we get in consumer mode when those icky feelings come up. We're doom scrolling, we're getting jealous, we're seeing all of these things that other people are doing. We're consuming, and it is just kind of eating away at us. Remember that you are showing up to Instagram. If you have an art business account and you're, you know, building your portfolio, you have these specific tasks that you're trying to do with Instagram, you're showing up as a creator. So get in there, put your content out there with confidence, have some authentic engagement, and get out. Spend most of your time that you're using around Instagram in the creator mode. People are going to show up to you because they want to hear from you. They want to see what you're producing. They want to, you know, they want to learn from you. They want to be connected to you. So remember that you're in the driver's seat. You're the creator. If you're slipping into too much consumer mode, set some boundaries. Engage and walk away. Okay. Second section, I want you to think about some ways to make this easier on yourself. So this goes to this idea of using Instagram as a business tool and using it with extreme intention. I want you to think about strategizing and planning the way that you use Instagram. I know there's this idea that, like, it's really cool to be in the moment and share these things that we're passionate about and be, you know, involved. But I don't know. It's really hard to walk through life feeling like I have to process my life through this app. Like, I would rather be a little more strict and strategic with how I'm using Instagram. So I want you to dedicate a specific time each day, or maybe you decide that you only want to post, you know, 3 or 4 times a week, whatever you decide, however much you decide that you want to be on this app. For me, I'm mostly only on the app during the week. I try to stay off it on the weekends. Sometimes I share a little bit on my personal account on the weekends because that's when we're doing family stuff. But on weekdays, I dedicate a specific time each day to be on the app. And usually this time includes a time for me to share my content, right? I'm in creator mode. I'm going to share something. I'm going to spend some time engaging. So I'm going to respond to comments. I'm going to, you know, give some supportive comments to people that I follow. And then I'm going to also spend a little bit of time in discovery mode. So I'm going to just kind of do some of that rabbit holing, finding other artists, like making a new friend, You know, just digging around. And I'm going to be very specific with my time though. So like I even break it down by like, I spend about 10 to 15 minutes in consumer mode, creating my post or getting my post ready and publishing it. I spend about 10 minutes in engagement mode, responding to comments, sharing other comments, you know, for people that I support, and then about just 5 minutes in that discovery mode. So I try to do this every day that I plan to post. I usually only post about three times a week. And then I might pop back on later in the day, maybe, you know, after my kids are in bed, if I want to spend 20 minutes on the app responding to additional comments that might have come in or looking at some stories. But I try to be very specific with the time that I'm on the app, and that really helps me, you know, think of it like a business task. It's something that I'm checking off my to-do list. That doesn't mean I'm not being intentional about it. That doesn't mean I'm not being so grateful and happy to connect with people, but I can still have boundaries and respect my time, right? The second thing I want you to do to make it easier on yourself is develop a content collection. So what I mean by a content collection is basically, I want you to think of 3 to 5 things that you like to post and that get some really good engagement. And I want you to post those same things kind of in mini series over and over and over. And for me, I weave in and out of those things. So I'm not posting like, you know, say I have 5 of these mini series, this content collection. I'm not posting, you know, photos of paintings back to back to back to back. I'm going to be kind of moving in and out of these different sections of my content collection. So let me break it down by an example, so you can see what I'm talking about. So some examples of the 3 to 5 things that are within my content collection are these different categories. So the first is a completed work on a white wall. So I share an image of a painting or a completed studio scrap or a completed work that just has this white wall background. My caption might be something related to the piece. It might be something related to my day. Sometimes my captions line up with the image that I'm sharing, but a lot, you know, sometimes they don't, and that's fine. But I have a completed work on a white wall. It's this, you know, rhythm, this consistency, this like thing that I share, right? I'm an artist, I'm a painter, I share completed paintings. Another example of something in my content collection is I have this, you know, these little micro snippets of things that I like to share of my paintings called parts of paintings. So this would be a close-up view of a work in progress. And I usually take 4 or 5 of these and share them in a carousel post. So these are called parts of paintings, and they're kind of, you know, just these fun little bursts of color. They contrast really well with those larger images of paintings that have a white wall background, so they're fun to mix in. A third section of things I share in my content collection is artist mother life. So photos related to this might be kids in the studio. It might be, you know, an image of my studio, but I might be sharing a caption about, you know, motherhood or something about like balancing art and motherhood, something related to artist mother life. Another section of my content collection is studio scenes, right? So I might share like a work in progress or a kind of further away view of, you know, stuff happening in my studio, a messy studio floor, you know, quarter of my studio where you can see some in progress work. This is like an image that I like to share. And then that caption can also be, you know, something a little more loosely connected, like something related to finding time for my art practice or studio organization or a new material I'm liking. And then the last thing that I often, this repeated content that I share is kind of a miscellaneous category, but you know, usually the image is somewhat related. So I might share an uplifting, like trying to uplift a peer. So I might share something about an artist's mother that I love, or, you know, an artist that I'm proud of. I'll share, you know, announcements about different shows or things happening in the Artist Mother podcast. I might share something about Stay Home Gallery. So it's kind of this miscellaneous category of like projects that I'm working on, different things that happen that are just like big highlights that I want to share, where all of this stuff is kind of melding together under, you know, things I'm working on. But I keep my images pretty consistent, right? Like I'm looking at the way these images in these different collections kind of bounce off each other, how they create their own rhythm. And I would encourage you to, as you're listening to this episode, if you pull up my feed at Kaylan Butine on Instagram, KAYLANBUTEYN, you can kind of see what I'm talking about. You'll see this like rhythm that is there. And it's just this strategy. Honestly, it provides so much relief for me because I'm not opening up the app every day and thinking like, crap, what am I going to post? I already have these like, you know, these collections, these like sort of streams of consciousness that I can plug into that help me share what I want to share, but it's categorized. It's in a way that I feel like I can manage it and it doesn't feel as overwhelming. So I really want you to think about developing a content collection, picking 3 to 5 things that you consistently post about, what images would go with those things, and, you know, start to put together this plan of rotating through these images and these captions. And within this is another tip for making it easier on yourself. I want you to batch create for Instagram. And I want you to use old work. So I want you to think like if you're having a studio day and, you know, you can take 20 minutes at the end of your studio day to just take some photos. If the light is really good in your studio, take, you know, 10, 20 photos of these different things that you come up with that are kind of your strategy, and get those like there ready so you're not waiting for that one moment where, you know, you're like, crap, I haven't posted on Instagram in a while. I should, you know, just take this photo really quick, but the light is kind of, you know, getting dim and it's just like not really good. I'm going to upload it and see if like I can edit it on Instagram, if that'll make it better. And then you just start into this spiral of self-doubt and you're frustrated, or maybe you're working late at night because you got your kids to bed and you're in your studio and it's the only studio time you've had in like 3 weeks, and then you remember, crap, I haven't posted on Instagram, and you know, you're thinking like, but the lighting isn't good in here, I don't know what to do, and then you like try a reel and that feels overwhelming, and then you just end up not posting at all and you doom scroll for like 2 hours. Batch creating can help with this so much. Working ahead, having a content collection, and using images of old work. Like, nobody says that you can't share paintings from, you know, or sculptures or whatever, the art that you create. You can't share images from, you know, a year ago, from a few months ago. Like, you can still share new ideas, new captions, but use older images that you're really proud of that still like line up with your style. That's totally okay. And then the last thing I want you to think about, which, you know, is kind of the foundation for all of these things that I just shared, in terms of making it easier on yourself, dedicating a specific time each day and setting a timer, developing a content collection, batch creating, and using old work. I want you to do all of these things on your computer, using an app like Later.com or Plan, P-L-A-N-N. These are not sponsored. I use the free versions of these apps. I use Plann, P-L-A-N-N. And let me tell you, I spend usually on a Sunday evening or a Monday morning, I spend about 40 minutes to an hour getting my Instagram posts ready for the week. I do this for the Artist Mother podcast. Pam, my co-director at Stay Home Gallery, does this for our Stay Home Gallery account. And I do this for my personal art account. I do it all on my computer. I upload images from my DSLR or I email edited images from my phone that I've taken to myself and I upload them into Plann. I move them around. Like this, a service like this enables you to kind of play with the images in your grid and see how they're like bouncing around on each other, which of course you can't do when you're creating a post, you know, one at a time in Instagram. But this is so helpful. I do not like sitting in front of my phone, you know, whipping out my phone when I'm feeling a spark of inspiration and then having this pressure to like sit there and write a great caption for, you know, 20 or 30 minutes and then my kids start screaming and it just gets really frustrating. And y'all, I do all of this on my computer one time a week. And then, you know, the day that I get on to open my app to post it, I'm going to do that engagement, right? So Sunday night, Monday morning, I prep my three posts for the week. Monday morning, I usually post one of them, and then I'll spend that little bit of time engaging, thanking people for their comments, asking questions back, connecting with other people. And then I close the app and I don't think about it again until it's the next time that I'm planning to post. For me, that's usually Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Then I might be on Instagram a little bit on Tuesday, but it's not going to be very much. On Wednesday, I open my app. I have my post ready to go. I feel confident in it. I've typed it out on my computer. I open it. I post it. I spend some time engaging, giving those thoughtful people who comment on my posts, who share things with me, the content that I'm consuming. I give authentic, supportive feedback. I don't feel burnout, right? Because I had my posts done. And I do the same thing, you know, the next day that I get on. I just can't emphasize this enough, that using an app like Plann or Later and developing your stuff, planning your stuff out on your computer saves you so much time. It saves your neck from crouching over your phone. It saves those moments of stress and doubt, and it's just magic. If there is one thing you take away from this episode, other than I want you to value and prioritize your art, it is please start using Instagram in a more strategic way and get on one of these apps. They're free, where you can do Instagram from your phone or from your computer. Sorry. Okay, two more sections. We're halfway through. These are going to be a little quicker. They're going to move at a different pace. Here are some best practices, just some quick tips for Instagram engagement. So a few of these I've already covered in other ways, but they don't need as much explanation this time around. I want you to keep your content predictable and consistent. Y'all, I love that you have cats and dogs and new cars and things that you want me to see, but I'm probably following you because I really respect your art and I want to hear about your art career. That doesn't mean that I don't value you as a person. That doesn't mean if we get coffee or we become phone buddies or we take our friendship to a different level that I don't want to hear about all of the wonderful things in your life. It doesn't make me shallow. But when we're on Instagram, I probably just want to connect with, you know, your art. I want to see what you're doing in your studio. I want to hear about your career. That's probably why I followed you, right? So I want you to keep your content predictable and consistent. I promise you, you will see growth if you do that. I want you to develop a voice and use that voice. This goes back to that idea of content creation. Part of what you're creating also is these captions, right? You're kind of writing these mini blog posts. You're gonna, you know, be sharing parts of you as through this written form. So I want you to develop a voice, and I want you to use your voice. I want you to, you know, not be afraid to be authentic and personal, but you can keep it within this content that feels strategic and intentional. The third thing for best practices is strategize and schedule, make a plan and time for engagement. I know I've already talked about this one, but this is really just a best practice that I feel like you need to do. The fourth thing is I want you to engage with new followers. This is something when I was researching the algorithm, which I'm not really going much into today. It was just like opening another can of worms, talking about the algorithm, but I did talk about that in our professional practice course. But something I learned when I was researching about the algorithm is this, that the algorithm really pays attention to what happens when you get new followers. And that they want to see that if somebody chooses to follow you, they want to see that that person is interacting with, you know, your feed, with commenting, liking a few of your photos, that they're going to your bio and clicking on your website. And you can stimulate some of that, right? So if somebody follows you, you can send them a direct message. That'll also be picked up in the algorithm. You can say, you know, thanks so much for following me. It means a lot. You can, you know, go to their account and like a few of their photos and share some nice comments. Maybe you want to follow them back. Maybe you don't. But I just want you to engage with new followers. Respect the people that are showing up for you. Offer them something back. Give them some of your time and attention too. Another thing related to best practices is posting during the peak posting times for you. So you will only know this if you have a business account on Instagram, but if you do have a business account, you can go in and look at your insights. And what that is it's a section where it takes the data from all of the people that follow you. It like tells you kind of, you know, when they're on Instagram, when they're the most active, what are some of the things that they're doing and liking. And that peak post time is when those people, the people that are following you, when they're most active. So you want to post during the beginning of that time, if you can, only if this works best for you. Because ultimately, I want you on Instagram when it works best for you, when it feels less stressful. But if it works best for you to be on Instagram at a similar time when your followers are on, you want to post at the beginning of that peak time. Because what that's going to do is it's going to bump your post up further in the feed, because you're going to have the longest action time for engagement, right? For example, if your peak posting time is between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. and you post at 1:30, how much engagement are you probably going to be getting from that post, right? If most of your followers are kind of just about to get off Instagram, they're about to go pick up their kids, they're not going to really be engaging. If you can post at 10 a.m. or 10:30, you might snowball some of that reaction. There's a longer window for them to interact with your post. So I don't want to get too much into the science and the details of all of this, but I thought that was just too good of a tip not to share, that I want you to think about posting during the beginning of your peak posting time, but only if it's best for you. Okay, another thing to think about is being a scientist, putting a scientist's brain on and really looking at what you're posting, looking back at your content and seeing what is getting the best engagement. So you're kind of like looking back at the results, right? Do you have a post that like did really well? Think about why. How can you replicate some of those things? Instead of just putting things out there and like kind of closing your eyes and hoping for the best, I want you to investigate your Instagram habits and practices. What's going well? What's not? What can you learn from that? Almost done with best practices. Just a couple more things. I want you to stop looking at your numbers every day or every week. So if you are someone who is like, crap, that post isn't doing very well. It only has 99 likes. What should I do? How can I get it to snowball even more? How can I, you know, like if you get up in that, if you are like, oh no, I lost 2 followers today. Yesterday I lost 3. Crap. And it just makes you feel really bad. Please stop looking at the numbers. Just so you know, it takes a while to like, for all of that stuff to settle in and to recalibrate. So actually, if you want to look at your numbers, I don't really look at my numbers at all. If you want to look at your numbers though, you should look at it just once a month. Okay. Set that boundary. Another thing I want you to think about too is just because a post doesn't quote unquote perform as well. For example, you might have a post that only gets 100 likes versus, you know, 400 likes. Guess what? Sometimes that post with 100 likes can still get you what you want or something even better, right? I recently had this happen. I had a few posts that like did really well, and then I shared this post that was like, I don't know. It was an image of a painting and it just wasn't getting a lot of traction. I don't know if I didn't post at the right time or, you know, whatever. Whatever the reason that I wanted to get in my head about spiraling into, oh, I didn't do this well enough. Maybe the photo wasn't bright enough. Maybe my caption wasn't, you know, quite as, like, there's all the things, right, that you can think about. You can go into this shame spiral. Guess what? I sold the painting that I posted about in that post. So does it even matter, right? If you're getting a different kind of result, you know, those little numbers that we get caught up in don't even matter. Maybe a post doesn't get as many likes, but it gets a lot of comments. Maybe somebody reshares it or reposts it. Like all of those things matter. If you can get out of your head about the numbers and the likes and stop looking at those things so consistently, I think that'll really help. Okay, the last thing I want you to think about in terms of a best practice is back to this idea of being a creator. And I want you to think about how you're serving the people that are following you. So I learned this from, I can't remember if it was Jenna Kutcher's Gold Digger podcast or if it was Amy Porterfield, one of those like business marketing people. I used to listen to those kind of podcasts like, I don't know, a few years ago. It's been a while since I've plugged back into some of those, but I really learned a lot when I was listening to some of those. And they really helped me with this whole idea of like being intentional with, you know, using my Instagram and strategizing it and helping it grow. But I will never forget this one tip that I'm pretty sure it was Jenna Kutcher shared called the jab, 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 punch method. So she's kind of sharing this metaphor from, you know, I think it's from like an Ultimate Fighter or a boxer where if you kind of have your fists up and you're ready to, you know, you're ready to fight someone, you're not going to just like punch as hard as you can, punch as hard as you can, punch as hard as you can. You're gonna take it, you know, you're gonna have this rhythm, right? You're gonna jab, 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 and then do a big punch. And what this does is it kind of like sets you up into this like consistency, jab, 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 punch, jab, 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 punch. And then she used this as an analogy for, as a metaphor for the way that you can think about serving the people that are following you and the way that you're marketing your work. So the jabs represent something you're giving to your followers, and the punches represent, you know, something that you want from them. And so what this is demonstrating is that you don't want every post that you're sharing on Instagram to be something like a big punch where you're asking, buy my art, buy my art, buy my art, buy my art, buy my art. You want to pillow that punch with some jabs. Share a beautiful photo. You know, share some encouragement with people who are following you. ask a question, get them involved. What can you share that feels more like an offering to them before you have the ask? Keep it balanced, right? And really, the balance should sway more to you being a content creator, to you being somebody who is giving them something before you ask. So just think about that as you're strategizing sort of what you're putting out there. Give, 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 and then ask. These are real people who you respect and admire who are following you. Make sure, you know, you're serving them in a way that feels really good before you pile on the asks, right? Because you are going to ask, and you're going to ask with confidence. You're going to ask them to support your work. You're going to ask them to share something. You're going to ask them to buy your work. And that is great. I want you to do that. But I also want you to think about the ways that you can do that, maybe with some cushion in between. Okay, last section, I'm going to share some quick tips for avoiding burnout on Instagram. These are some things that I've already talked about a little bit before, but I wanted to just have this separate section at the end where I specifically talk about strategies for avoiding burnout. So I've already talked about, number one, stop taking it personal. I still want you to think about that again. Just stop taking it personal. It's not the end of the world if an Instagram post doesn't do well. You know, it's okay. But I would separate business from personal life as much as you can. That doesn't mean I don't want you to be authentic and to share, you know, from your heart when you talk about your art. But I do want you to be careful. I want you to have some boundaries so you can stop taking it so personal. The second thing for avoiding burnout is to stop expecting complexity. I think sometimes we just expect too much out of this app. We show up to it and expect it to fix our frustration with loneliness that we're feeling, with lack of community, with, I don't know, like all of the things, right? We might be feeling like we are stuck in the studio. We might be feeling frustrated with parenting. And we open this app and think that we're going to have this like experience that either will numb us and take us out of reality, or that maybe we'll find a solution, or maybe we'll, I don't know, figure out the answer, whatever it is. But I want us to like stop expecting to find these things there, because this is just social media. And so don't expect it to be so complex. Don't expect all of the world's problems to be solved through this app. Don't expect your art career to be 100% supported by Instagram. And if it is, that's probably not a very stable art career, right? What are some other ways you can enrich, you can create a more complex experience for yourself? You can't do it all through Instagram. That only has to be one outlet. Okay, avoid burnout, thirdly, by having a goal and staying intentional with your time. I've already talked about this. Be task-oriented and use a timer. This will help you not burn out because you're setting up boundaries. You're respecting your time. The fourth thing for avoiding burnout is remember that Instagram is only one leg of your business. I've already talked about this, but it's just, it relates to burnout, y'all. Like, if you're putting all of your eggs in this basket of Instagram, you are going to be burnt out. So please make sure it is not the only leg that you're dividing your time and your energy. Another thing, I haven't talked about this yet, but I feel like really connects to burnout, is stop posting in real time. I guess I talked about it a little bit when I shared the example of a late night studio session where you feel really frustrated because you haven't posted in a while. But I just think overall, like, don't feel like you have to post in real time. You can post stories if you want, maybe. But it's okay to have a strategy. Like, there's nothing icky about getting on your computer on Mondays and developing what you're going to post ahead of time so that you don't feel stressed out. You will avoid burnout if you stop posting in real time, I promise you. Related to that, I've already talked about it, schedule, strategize, and work ahead as much as you can. I try to work about 2 weeks out. It helps me avoid burnout. It helps me avoid stress. I like being on top of it. I like having it planned out. I like knowing what's happening. I get stressed when I get to that day where I don't have any content prepared and I'm like, crap, right? Plan ahead, schedule, strategize. It will help you avoid burnout. Another reminder, I've already shared this, but it contributes to burnout. Reuse content. Post old work if the photos are good. This relates because when we get in those traps of, I need something new, I need something consumable, I gotta get that quick fix. It's okay, slow down, take a deep breath. Reuse good old content. Another thing for avoiding burnout, please don't expect perfection from your Instagram. You are not a perfect person. And you are not going to have a perfect Instagram account, whatever that means to you. So just let it go if you make a mistake, if you share a stupid comment, if you put a post up that doesn't do that well, whatever that means, right? It's okay. There are days and days ahead of you where you can continue to learn and grow about better ways to share your work. So just in this moment, I want you to stop expecting perfection from yourself and don't let that expectation of perfection stop you from the authentic engagement that is there for you, from the community that wants to hear from you. Another thing to think about when avoiding burnout is I just want you to give it time, right? Like, I've been on Instagram for 9 years. That's a long time. And I know many of you maybe have also been on Instagram for 9 years. Maybe some of you have been on Instagram for just a couple years. But it takes time to build a following. And I think, you know, we, especially in this like outlet of quick consumption, we fall into this trap of thinking that we have to just have it all right away. We have to see our numbers grow like every day in these huge waves. It takes time, y'all. These are real people, right? It takes time for them to find you. But it'll get there. So just give it time. Second to last thing for avoiding burnout on Instagram, I want you to take breaks. Please take breaks. Please don't be on Instagram on the weekends. Or if you can't be on Instagram during the week and you want to be on Instagram on the weekend, then take a break during the week. Have a boundary is my point. I don't care what day of the week it is, but have a boundary where you have a couple days where you don't open the app, you don't think about it. You can let it go. You can have a deep breath. Just give yourself a break. I promise it will help you avoid burnout. And build those breaks in consistently rather than getting up to this buildup where, you know, maybe you've been on Instagram consistently for like 6 weeks and then you're just so frustrated and you have a blowout fight with it and you're just like, I'm done for you. And you make this public announcement about how you're taking a break. And then who knows, maybe you don't get on it for 10 days. And then you come back and you feel a little bit better. What if instead, every weekend, you had a boundary and you weren't on Instagram? How would that maybe help you avoid that burnout? I don't know. I know it helps me. Okay, and lastly, and this is another really big takeaway. I think the biggest way to avoid burnout on Instagram is to enrich your life with more complex connections. And there are lots of ways that you can do that, but I think really it's easy for us to fall into this trap of thinking that our whole world revolves around Instagram, and it's not true, right? So many of us, artist mothers, we're isolated, we live in these cocoons, we've been in a freaking pandemic where all we've had to connect with each other is social media, is our phones. Thank God for them. But also, there are other ways. Set up a phone call with a friend, with somebody you have met on Instagram. Join the Artist Mother Network. We have lots of other kinds of conversations that are happening off Instagram that have different forms, right? Sign up for a workshop. Take, you know, a course. Join some artist talks. Go out for coffee with somebody. Meet up at a park. Please enrich your life with more complex connections. Instagram is one tiny little thing. Let's take control. Let's be the creators. Let's put the ball and chain on Instagram. Stop feeling used by it and use it to grow our art businesses, to grow our followings, to grow our collector bases, to grow authentic connections. I have so many beautiful, wonderful friends in my life because of this app. But I've taken so many of those connections to a deeper level. I've let them develop organically in other ways because Instagram can't fulfill, you know, what I really need from people. I hope this talk has been empowering for you. I know I covered a lot of content. I just had so many things to share, and I hope, you know, that some of it was useful for you, that you can take away some things that might help you feel more confident in your Instagram use, that can help you feel less frustrated and avoid burnout. Sending love and so much gratitude for all of you who listen. If you haven't ever done this, please feel free to give us a review on iTunes. It really helps when we get reviews for the podcast. And it's been a while since I've asked about that. So jab, 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 punch, right? I'm leaving you with a little bit of an ask. If you'll take a few minutes or a minute to give us a review on iTunes, I would really appreciate it. Sending love to all of you. We'll be back with a couple more episodes, and then we are taking a break for the summer. Our last episode of the season will be in a couple weeks, and I'll be sharing more about the break that we're taking and some of the plans that we have. I hope you join us. I hope you're thinking ahead to some, you know, good summer times where you're going to be with your family, you're going to be digging into your studio, and you're going to be breathing deeply. Anyway, sending love, beautiful community. Thank you for listening, and thank you for showing up authentically as your wonderful artist mother self to our community every day.
The Artist Mother Podcast is curated and produced by Kaylin Butine. Music by Josh Middleton. Editing and mixing by John M. Butine. Please visit www.artistmotherpodcast.com for episode notes and to find out how you can further support this podcast.